Hey, no unity between you two. I'm just kidding.
Well, I wish you the best with your sermon this year.
Don't wish, pray. pray.
Fine.
Lots of prayer.
You will do fine.
No, you guys all silenced yourselves. But if you want to talk for another 20 minutes, I can finish. No, just kidding. Oh, my. The book of Daniel. As we continue in worship, we're going to turn to the word of the Lord in Daniel chapter 12, verses 5 through 13. Verses 5 through 13 of Daniel chapter 12. While you're turning in your Bibles, let me go ahead and turn us to prayer. Father, you are good and gracious. Good and gracious to your people as we come before your word, and we ask that you would be using your word to form and shape us now. That you would go with me as the wrestlings through this passage, that those wrestlings would be, have worked their purpose for clarity now. That you would be working within us to hear. Not the words of a mere man, but the words of God who is speaking and encouraging his people so that that we would be prepared to do your work, the work you've prepared in advance for us to do. Father, please. Lord, work your word in our wills. We have the confidence that this will happen as we declare Christ, who has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts to make us what you have declared us in Christ Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let me now read these words in Daniel 12. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be until the end of these wonders?" I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And as soon as they finished shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. As for me, I heard but could not understand. So I said, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these events?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. Many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. But as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. And we are blessed for hearing it. We've gone through the book of Daniel. We've come to the end of the book of Daniel. And specifically in our text today, we've come to the end of Daniel's final vision. The end of the prophecy from the angelic messenger, that began back in chapter 10 of Daniel. In fact, you can see the end of his words in verse 4 of Daniel chapter 12. At the end, you see the quotation marks. He's done speaking. He's given out what he needed to give to Daniel. But now we come to our passage. The message has been concluded from the angelic messenger, and we come to our passage. It's like if you go to the movies, and you sit through the entire movie, it comes to an end, and then they start rolling the credits. At some point along the way, it used to be that the credits were the end of the movie. Everyone got up out of their seats at the movie theater and they stormed out to be the first to the bathroom at my age. I never knew why everyone ran out so quick. Now I know. But at some point, at the end of the credits, they started putting little clips like that finishing moment. And we're like that finishing moment of the book of Daniel. It's come to an end. But there's that little clip. That short little clip after the credits. They're unanticipated little blurps. Unexpected. In fact, they're unrequired. Usually they're funny little just short little things. And here in Daniel, it's unrequired as well. The message has already been given. It's been delivered. That which Daniel was praying for, for 30 days, fasting and praying, the messenger shows up, being hindered by the prince of Persia, not understanding what that means, but he was on his way and he was hindered, and after 30 days he came, 3 weeks. Gave Daniel exactly what he was meant to give Daniel, the whole message. And it concludes in verse 4. So this verse 5 and following is really unexpected. Unrequired, to the point that, as one commentator points out, some scholars believe that this section, verses 5 through 13, has the traits of a later gloss or appendix, something that was added on to the book. But I don't think so. It might not have been required, but it was so important because the message to Daniel left questions hanging. Since I'm already on the movie kick here, there are those movies that you go to that they leave you hanging. When the credits roll, you're like, what about? Those questions that the movie brought up that you want answered, and they roll the credits instead of answering the questions. One of my favorite movies is a skating movie called The Cutting Edge, and it's about figure skating, but this pair of figure skaters, they make it unexpectedly into the Olympics, and they go to the Olympics, but then they're expected not to win because the Russians have like this great skating pair. In fact, the way the movie presents it is the Russians are so much greater that no one else even compares. But this figure skating pair from the U.S., they have a secret weapon, the Pamchenko twist. And it might save the day. And they go into the Olympics, and they perform the twist. And it comes down to that end, and they're going to win. And instead, no, they express their love for one another. They kiss. And the movie credits roll. Did they win? I felt like the dog in that commercial for Beggin' Strips. What's in the bag? Oh, tell me what's in the bag. Did they win? Oh, what did they score? Well, that's where we are when we come to verse 5 of Daniel 12. What about? I still have these questions. The prophecy is concluded. The message has come to the end. But the book hasn't come to an end. It could have been over with the message. It's what Daniel was waiting for. But instead, there's a return. A return to where the vision began. And in that return, it is to answer some of Daniel's questions. And when we hear the questions, we should realize that they are questions we ought to have as we read through the message. Three questions. Two explicit questions and one implicit question. Two questions that are right out of the text, the narrative, and one clearly answered, even though it is never asked. The first question, how long will it be until the end of the wonders? Question number two, what will be the outcome of these events? And question number three, what about me? All three questions are clearly either explicit or implicit within this text. I said it's a return to where the vision began. We find Daniel back where the vision began, on the banks of the river. We have to turn to Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, to get the more specifics. Because in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "While I was on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris." So he's returned to that river. He's back right there, present where the vision began. And there's more. Because there, and when he was on the banks of the great river, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen. And I'm going to stop right there, because it is this man dressed in linen who we find present in chapter 12 in our passage. It is this one dressed in linen who has been speaking throughout chapter 10, 11, and 12. And so he's present here in this after the credits little section. This little blurb at the very end. As we turn back to chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others were standing, one on this bank of the river and the other on that bank of the river. And one said to the man dressed in linen," the same man dressed in linen that was at the beginning of the vision, "who was above the waters of the river." And I'm going to just pause there. Our messenger, the one who's been speaking throughout chapter 10, 11, and 12, is now above the waters, clothed in linen. I tried to picture it, but I really had an issue because is he standing on the rivers? He's walking on water. Well, I said that this messenger was never introduced. We don't know who he is, and the way he's described, it very well could be Christ. But there were issues with that we talked about a few weeks ago. But at least it's a messenger sent from heaven, he could be standing right on the waters. But it's not conclusive, because he could be hovering above the waters, above them, looking down upon Daniel and these other two individuals. He might be immense, like a tower standing above. Text doesn't tell us. But I mention all these because that's where my mind went. It's so short as to not even give us an accurate description of what's going on even here and there, right now. That Daniel's looking on and this one clothed in linen is above the waters. Well, two others are with this one dressed in linen. Two others who are also unintroduced. We have one on this bank with Daniel and one all the way across the great river on that bank. On the other side. And one asked our first question. How long will it be until the end of these wonders? Daniel didn't ask this question, but clearly it was for his benefit. There's no reason that these angelic messengers need to know. They just do exactly what God tells them to do. God sends them here or there, and they go here and there. God tells them to take this message, and they take this message. This question had to have been a question that came from God for Daniel's benefit. How long until the end of these wonders? How long? How long? It's a good question because Daniel has just gone through listening about events that are all the way at the end of the age. He's been looking about 400 years in the future. He's writing in the 7th century, maybe the 6th century, well, probably the 6th century. And he's writing about events that happened in the second century, about 172, 174 to about 162 BC. And so he's looking 400 years in advance, but all of a sudden those events don't line up with what we know as history of that time. And so we see that the vision jumps fast forward into the future until not Antiochus the Fourth, but in the next Antichrist, the great Antichrist, the Antichrist at the end of the ages. And some of the things that have been described. The question is, how long? How long? Because the kingdoms and countries are being invaded. How long will these last? How long will this this great distress go on? The beautiful land, Israel, is being invaded, and one is coming against God's people in God's promised land. How long? Many countries are falling. How long? God's enemies are being exalted. They're aligning with this Antichrist. How long will this, will God, how long, God, were you going to allow this to continue? More countries are following as the Antichrist stretches out his hand to all corners of the world. How long? How long are you going to allow this abomination? Lost individuals are falling into line with the Antichrist. How long? Daniel 12 picks up and says, Michael, the great prince of who stands guard over the sons of your people will arise, and there will be a time of distress. How long, God? How long will this distress go on? A distress that has never occurred since the beginning of the nation until this point. How long is this distress going to be? Well, the answer is coming. Daniel says, I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river as he raised his right hand and his left toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever. I'm going to pause there. Sinclair Ferguson, reading this section, says the commencement of the answer is one of the most solemn moments in the vision. Indeed, in the entire book. The one who is above the waters raises both hands to heaven as if taking a sacred oath and affirms in the name of the living God that it will be for a time, times, and half a time. That God has already declared it, and this angelic messenger clothed in linen raises his hands and says, I swear by God that this is what it'll be. It's reminiscent of the angel in Revelation 10, and even the vision is kind of same there. Revelation 10, 5 and 6. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, and there will be delay no longer. That this is all written out in the book of truth, that God, who has ordained all events, has written it, and this angel, this angelic messenger clothed in linen, can declare, I swear by him who is truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth, that it will be for a time, times, and half a time. It's reminiscent of God himself in Moses' song back in Deuteronomy 32, who he says, I swear by myself, verses 39 and 40. Just write it down. Read it this afternoon. Daniel 32, verses 39 and 40. See now that I am he, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal, and there is no one who can deliver from my hand. And he said all this. Indeed, I lift my hand to heaven and say, as I live forever, this is how it will be. I have decreed. This angel, this angelic messenger, clothed in linen, says, it will be. By him who is truth. A time, times, and half a time. As soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. This is the answer. Daniel, you didn't ask it, but you wanted to know it. How long? It would be for a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. Yeah. It's funny because individuals who are trying to understand the book of Daniel, but understand the book of Daniel from their own perspective, they go in and they say, well, Daniel could not have had this much information of Antiochus the Fourth and the events 400 years in his future. So the book of Daniel was probably written after all those events, probably in the beginning or like the end of this. How do you even say that? Like in the early years of the second century BC or the later years of the first century, like after all the events, and it was probably written around then. And they wrote out 3.5 years. And if you go on through, then it goes on, verse 11, it says 1,290 days. And then verse 12, 1,335 days. And these individuals who are at the end or thinking that Daniel was written after all the events say that Antiochus, the events, it was less than 3 years that Antiochus was really active in Israel and with the abomination of desolation. And it was less than 3 years. So then they come up with this 3.5 years, and they said, well, maybe no, it can't be that. So we'll go with 1,290 days. Oh, wait, no, it's not happened yet. We'll go with 1,330. Like the author is going in and saying, oh, scratch that thought. Let's add an extra couple days. Let's scratch that thought. Let's add a couple. And he's like, come on, people. That's not what's happening here. This is a message from God, and you don't understand it, and it's not lining up with your history because this is still far in the future. And you don't understand because you don't have insight. Well, I thought it was just funny that these individuals are so dogmatic that Daniel was written after the fact. They have to throw in all these inventions of how we can make Daniel correspond to the events that have happened. I look at Daniel and say, you can't, because these aren't events that have happened. They're events yet to happen. The answer, a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 years. Why 3.5 years? Well, we go back to where we began the whole worship service. And it's because there is a purpose. And God is purposeful. And he gave this 3.5 years for a reason. And it's written right out right here. And as soon as they finish shattering the power of the holy people, all these events will be completed. Shattering the power of God's holy people, then these events. God is not calling individuals who are fully capable and totally able into his kingdom. He is calling people who are inept, unable, and unpowerful into his kingdom. It's the way it's always been. God uses people, as Guthrie wrote a book, God uses empty. And here we see that the reason it's going to be 3.5 years is God wants to empty his people of all power, to shatter the power of his holy people. And when their power is empty and shattered, when they no longer think they can handle it, that all they can do is look up to God and say, we need that 3.5 years to come to a completion now. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking of Gideon. And Gideon is in Judges, and an angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, hear now, O great and mighty warrior. And Gideon goes, who, me? No, I am the least in my tribe, and my tribe is the least in the nation of Israel. Me? High and mighty warrior? So funny, because when the angel shows up, he's hiding from the Midianites in a wine press, trying to thresh his wheat. Usually you do this up in a windy area, you throw it up in the air and all the chaff goes away. And he's down in a hole in the ground, hiding from his enemies. Hey, mighty leader, mighty and powerful warrior. Me? Anyways, Gideon is called to go against the Midianites, and he gathers an army around him, and this is what I think of when I think of finish shattering the power of the holy people. Gideon gathers this whole army around him. He has like 37,000 warriors, and God says to him, hey, you have too many people. The Midianites, the camels are uncountable. There's such a vast army coming against Israel that Gideon's like, how are we ever going to do this? And the angel says, hey, you have too many people. What I want you to do is give them a way out. Give your army a way out. Does anyone at home have a home that they haven't dedicated, a wife that you haven't married, or a woman you're engaged to that you haven't married? And a whole bunch of the army leaves. He looks around and, oh, you still have too many. Hey, is anyone afraid? Like a third of his army gets up and just walks out. Yeah, I'm not staying around for this one. Not shattered yet. He still has like 13,000 people and says, hey, go take them. They all need a drink of water. And I want you to sort them out between the ones who lap and the ones who sip or whatever it is. And they separate them out. There's like 12,700 over here. That's a good size army. And 300 over here. And God says, hey, Gideon, stop looking over there. Send those guys home, that 12,700. Send them home. See these 300? These are your guys. Gideon's like, hold on. Earlier you gave me that option to say if anyone's afraid, you could leave. I'm going. Shatter the power. God's holy people know that it's not by their strength, not by their stamina, not by their endurance that they're going to suffice. It is only by the hand of God that they are going to go continue. Only by the hand of God. How long? Until all my people know that it is only to the glory of God that anything will happen and any will endure. Only by God's might and power. No. Well, Daniel, verse 8, has this statement that has been, should have been the title of the whole sermon series after Daniel 7, just so you know. I heard, but I could not understand. I read, but I did not know what was going on. Oh, Daniel's hearing the vision, hearing all this, says, I heard, but I could not understand. We can't understand. These are events so far in Daniel's future, still in our future. We cannot fully understand. We just have to take the big pieces and say, this is it. We understand what God is doing, but we might not get the specifics. And here it's getting very specific. Well, and here we come also to the second question. And this one's the one that Daniel asks. I heard, but I could not understand. So I said, I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? What will be the outcome of these events? Well, what are you doing with this? If it's purposeful that the time, how long, and there's a purpose, what is going to be the outcome? And we've already started moving in that direction. We've already started answering this. The response is here. He said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. But that doesn't answer the question. Have you noticed? Here's the first response that he gets after asking his question. Go your way. Kind of like, don't let it stress you, Daniel. This is all going to happen. It's all sealed, all concealed and sealed until the very end. But here, we still get the answer. Daniel, this doesn't concern necessarily you. You're receiving it. You've received the message. You're now asking your question. The answer to the question does not concern you. In fact, it's way in your future. But I'm going to answer you anyways. Verse 10. Here's the answer to Daniel's question. What's the outcome? Many will be purged, purified, and refined. Purged, purified, and refined. God is not willing to let his holy people, who he found in the mud, remain in the mud. To put it in C.S. Lewis's words, you have no concept of holiday on the beach, and so you continue to play in the mud and the muck when God wants to take you to holiday on the beach. And we have this idea of purged, purified, and refined. In fact, I spoke about it a few weeks ago because this isn't the first time that this language has come about. In Daniel 11, verse 35, we're coming to the end of this Antiochus Epiphanes, and some of those who have insight will fall. And when it says fall, it means die. In order to refine, purge, and make pure until the end time. It is God's purpose is always to be purifying, refining, and purging his people to make them what he has declared them to be in Christ Jesus. We in the New Testament, we go forward and we have this idea of the clipping of the vine. And God is clipping off those things that aren't producing fruit. And that's what he has been doing throughout. Taking his people, maturing them. He's pruning them where he needs to prune them. He wants them to be to producing the fruit that he has preordained for them to produce. And he's going to clip off. He's going to prune. Here he's going to purge, purify, and refine. He wants his people to be his people, and he will cut off, burn out all that hinders his people being his people. As we go through our lives, we end up with hardship. We end up with struggles. We end up with pains and suffering. And in if this is all a godless world, then what we say is, it's just my lot. It's just my fate. The stars are aligned against me. That's a godless world, but we are not a godless people. We have a God who is ordering our world in such a way to purge, purify, and refine. James takes this language and says, you know what? When you're being purged, purified, and refined, consider it pure joy. Because well, now I need to turn to it because I'm using different language and it's so much easier. James chapter 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter purgings, purifyings, and refinings, or various trials, as James puts it, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This is what God wants of his people, and he is going to purge, purify, and refine. In fact, that word right here in our language in Daniel 12, verse 10, purified, is to be made white. And when you fast forward in the Bible all the way into Revelation, when you see Christ coming in Revelation chapter 20, his whole army is clothed in white. In that moment in Revelation 20, there is only one stain on any of God's army, and that is the leader who has a stain of blood on his side because that blood has purified all of his army. It's declared. It's set in stone. This is what God is doing, and he will do. He is going to make you what he has declared you to be in Christ Jesus. Well, if I keep going, we're not going to get to that third question. What about me? We've kind of already touched on it. But verse 13 is very specific. Daniel, he might have thought it. Might not have even thought it. It might have just been, but Daniel, let me tell you about you. Verse 13, but as for you, go your way to the end. Then you will enter into rest and rise again for your allotted portion at the end of the age. As for you, Daniel, go your way to the end. Not the end, at the end of human history, your end. Go to your end, Daniel. You're going to cease before you come to what I'm telling you about. He's not like Simeon. Remember Simeon in chapter 2 of Luke? Now I can depart because my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord, and as it had been promised to me that I would see and I would not die until I had seen. Daniel, you don't have that promise. Daniel, you're going to die before any of this comes about. You're going to come to your end. But it isn't an end. It isn't an end. You will enter into rest. Remember the toil of your fastings and prayer for 30 days, Daniel? That's rather recently, 30 days ago. Seems like forever in the scheme of us preaching through it. 30 days ago, Daniel, 30 days ago, you began this. And for the last 30 days, you've been praying and fasting. And now the answer has come to you. And you've been toiling and you've been distressed. But I want you to know you're going to come to the end of your days and you are going to enter into rest. You're going to enter into that which you have desired, into the presence of your Lord, your God. You're going to look upon him whom you've been praying to and speaking to. But even that isn't the end. And rise again. Daniel, that rest isn't going to be it's going to be a perpetual rest. You're going to enter rest, but that isn't it. You're going to rise again. Again, there is a resurrection. Your soul is immortal, Daniel. You are going to go on and you are going to enter into the allotted portion, is what my the ASB says. Your inheritance is what your inheritance, that which is yours, because you are a son of God. In Christ Jesus, we are all sons of God. And we will enter into our inheritance. A perpetual rest. But not from our labors. A rest of our soul. The toiling, the despair of our hearts, of the uncertainty. There will be no more of that. Because we will be in the presence of our God. There will be no more need of a son, is told to John in his revelation. Because your Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, is going to be the light of that world. Brothers and sisters, we have this promise to us as well. We will enter into this very promise. When Daniel says, what about, when the answer is given, what about me? We can ask it too. What about me? And all of it is right here. You will be purged and purified and refined. But know that isn't the extent. You will go to your end. Whenever that end is, you will enter into the rest you have desired. To rise again. And spend the rest of your days in the presence of Christ Jesus, your Lord. And that history has no end. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this addendum, amendment, final piece to the book of Daniel. We thank you that you are interested in our questions, even questions we never ask. Maybe we're embarrassed. Maybe we're fearful. But Lord, you are concerned about that. You are our Father. Sometimes fathers just take their children upon their knee and just say, I don't want you to be afraid, But here's what's coming. I'm about to take you to the doctor, and son, you're going to need a shot, but I want you to know it's for your benefit, and it's going to hurt for a moment, but afterwards, we're going to go get ice cream. It's going to be all good. That's an earthly father. But you, Lord, are saying, everything I have purposed to bring about my good. And when you understand my good, my children, you'll understand it's your good. And as long as you continue, I didn't get to this verse 12. How blessed is he who keeps waiting and attains to the 1,335 days. That there is perseverance of my people. They will remain. I'm not going to lose any, says Jesus, whom God has given me. Lord, our only hope is in Christ. Let him be our portion, our desire, our treasure. And let us look forward to that day when we will be united, every tongue and tribe and nation, gathered before your throne in worship. For your glory, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're gonna 491.